Hi everyone, it's podcast time again. Job chapter 42, the final chapter of Job, verses 1 to 6. I'll give you a moment to turn that up. It's on page 542 in the Bible I'm looking at, but that's probably no help to you whatsoever. Job 42, first 6 verses. Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Let me read the verses. Then Job replied to the Lord, "I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, 'Who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge?' Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, 'Listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me.' My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." Well, if you think things are hard for us at the moment with COVID and lockdowns and all the other things that we're facing at the moment, do spare a thought for Job. Things were so much harder for him. Do you remember his story? Such a rich, successful man, so righteous too, we're told. But then, with God's permission, Satan strips him of almost everything. His flocks, his servants, all 10 of his children. In the end, even his health as well. Chapters 1 and 2 are an account really of a whirlwind of suffering hitting Job. And then we get 39 more chapters in which Job laments what's happened, gets rubbish advice from his friends. "You must have sinned badly. You must have done something specific, Job," they say. "If this is happening to you, bad things only happen to bad people." That's the gist of their argument. And through these 39 chapters, we find Job wrestling with what's happened, with what he's hearing from his friends. He knows he hasn't done anything particularly sinful, so why is this happening? And why won't God explain to him? And then later on in the book, we meet a new figure, a young man called Elihu, who gets very cross with Job's friends, speaks up himself, offers his view. And then finally, chapters 38 to 41, just breathtaking chapters. God himself speaks. Interestingly, with no word of explanation to Job about why he suffered, but just with this breathtaking, devastating, really tour of creation. "Look at all this, Job," God says. "Did you make it?" "No, but I did." "Can you control it?" "No, but I can, and I do." "So how dare you put me on the spot, Job? How dare you question me?" God says. And then chapter 42, the verses I just read, Job speaks again. And in so many ways, he's a very different man to the man that we've met before. There's no sense of, "Come on, God, you owe me an explanation for what has happened." Job is so different. He is so overawed by what he's just seen of God's greatness in the previous four chapters. Look, verse 2. "I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted." And he's so humble about himself now as he compares himself to this great God who's just spoken to him. End of verse 3. "Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know." He's so different because look at verse 5. Isn't this a striking verse? My ears had heard of you," he says, "but now my eyes have seen you. And therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." Now I know you better," Job is saying. "How could I ever have thought I had the right to call you to account? I repent of that idea. I recognise my place." That's what he means by despise myself. It's not that he's got self-esteem issues. He's just seeing himself rightfully in comparison to the Lord. And Job is so different in these final verses because through all that's happened, as Job puts it there in verse 5, that remarkable verse, although he'd heard of God before, now he's seen him. He's got to know him better through what he's experienced, through all this suffering, and through what God has spoken. And that's that. And for Job, that's enough. And it is remarkable, isn't it? He's been given no explanation of why he suffered. We, the readers, do have more of an understanding of why that is. We get given a bit of a behind-the-scenes glimpse in chapters 1 and 2. But Job hasn't got a clue, and he's endured horrific suffering. He really has. But he's seen God. He knows him better as a result of all that. And that's enough. It doesn't take away the pain. But he's content that he knows God better. And that is often the way with suffering, isn't it? Some in our church family, I'm sure, will know this from their own experience. This side of heaven will maybe never understand why suffering comes our way, why particular things happen. But through it, very consistent experience of many of God's people is they come to know God better. Like Job, perhaps, we come to see more of God's greatness, the fact he's so beyond our comprehension, he's just so not remotely accountable to us, he does what he pleases. Suffering reminds us of that as things come into our lives that we would never have chosen. Other cases, perhaps we learn more of his kindness, his care for his people, as in his kindness he provides for us when things are so bad we feel we just simply can't go on. We get to know the Lord better as his people as we walk the path of suffering that Jesus walked to. So why COVID? Well, we haven't got a clue, have we? I mean, we can make some guesses, but that's all there'll be as to why the Lord has allowed COVID to happen with these massive implications for life. It's horrible, isn't it? What's going on? Such suffering for some, such loss of life. On the news again at the moment, we're getting those sort of behind-the-scenes glimpses of what's going on in ITU departments and getting a sense of just how ill some people are and the pressures on those working in the health service at the moment. We're getting so many sad stories of loved ones being lost to the virus and the impact it's having in so many other ways, all the things that we dread perhaps as this four-week lockdown looms. Especially if it turns out we're not able to gather for church on Sundays. That's going to make it so much harder, isn't it? Why is it all happening? Well, we don't know. And maybe we'll never will this side of heaven. But wouldn't it be great, wouldn't it be wonderful if when one day we get to the end of this COVID experience, whatever the end may look like, we could say with Job, "My eyes had heard of you." So my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Because of all that we've been through, as individuals and as a church family, the Lord has helped us to know him better. We have a deeper intimacy with him. Wouldn't it be brilliant if at the end of all of this, we could say those words and they could be true? Let's pray that that would be the case. Dear Father in heaven, we admit that there is so much that we just don't understand right now. So many things happening that we would never have chosen and would never choose if it was down to us. And so much that we may never understand or know. But please, we pray, whatever happens, whatever the next few weeks and months hold, however long this goes on, by your Spirit, use this situation, this virus, so that like Job, we can one day say, "My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you." Please use this to help us to know you better, to love you more. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And then let me lead us in another prayer. We'll pray for our government in the decisions they're making, Parliament voting on the lockdown plans later today, and we'll pray for the results of the US election too. Let's pray again. Father, we do pray for our government, and we recognise the extraordinary pressure they're facing at the moment. and the hugely complex situation they're trying to respond to. We pray that you would sustain them and give them wisdom and courage every step of the way. We pray for Parliament as they continue to scrutinise and vote on the plans for this next lockdown. We pray that in your kindness, somehow, even at this late stage, even if it looks unlikely, it might be possible. The government might be happy for churches to continue to meet on Sundays in these next few weeks. And we pray that if that's not the case, that you would sustain and keep your people, especially those in our church family for whom not meeting is going to be so hard. And turning our eyes across the Atlantic, we pray for the outcome of the US presidential election. We thank you that you are sovereign over that too, that Jesus reigns ultimately. We pray so much that you would overrule, that you would bring about what you know is the outcome that's most in accordance with your plans, your will. We pray that the outcome of that election would be accepted peacefully as well, that there would be no trouble, no violence whatsoever. Please be merciful to the United States at this time. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks again for joining us. Do listen out for more information about what will be happening on Sunday. We'll let you know as soon as we know, probably during the day on Thursday, Friday. So it could be a bit more last minute than normal. And of course, don't forget the pandemic prayer meeting, Friday morning, 8:30. It may well be there are not so many opportunities for us to gather and interact, even online, although we'll carry on with Zoom stuff as well. But there's one, 8:30 to 8:50 on Friday morning, a wonderful opportunity to pray with others. Maybe see you then.